Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Good morning, everyone. I want to say thank you, first of all, again, to everyone who took part in our show yesterday from Montclair State University. Given all the damage to homes, cars, roads, and train tracks, it's amazing that all our guests made it from all over North Jersey, and we had such a great audience turnout, too. So thanks for being there. And then it was over, and everyone went back to dealing with power outages, fallen trees, and flooded basements, and insurance companies. We're going to spend some time to start out today trying to answer your questions on insurance claims. And a little later, we'll talk about what to do if you lost food that you purchased with food stamps because of power outages that caused the food to go bad in your fridge. But let's start with Loretta Waters. She's vice president of the Insurance Information Institute. And we're inviting you to call us now with your questions or perhaps your hard-won advice for neighbors and fellow listeners about what insurance will and won't cover and how to speed your claim along and maximize it. The number is 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, or you can post your question to our webpage at WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show, or use Twitter or Facebook. You can also, but you can call right now, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. Our lines are open. And welcome to WNYC, Loretta Waters.
Thank you, Brian.
And tell us first about the Insurance Information Institute, your group. It's part of the insurance industry, right? Not
yes.
A consumer advocacy organization.
No, that's correct. We are a fact-finding and communications organization sponsored by the property casualty industry.
So where do people start? With a phone call to their agent?
Well, if you're filing an insurance claim in the wake of Hurricane Irene, there are some steps you should take. Obviously, the first being contact your agent or insurance company right away. Give them a description of the damage to your property. Your agent will report the loss immediately to your insurance company or to a qualified adjuster who will contact you as soon as possible in order to arrange an inspection of the damage. And also make sure to give your agent a telephone number where you can be reached, as a lot of people, as you know, are out of power, so they'll need to give them cell phones, for example.
Before cleanup begins, how important is it to take pictures and document the damage? And do you need before and after, or is after enough?
If it's safe to access the area, we recommend people take photos of the damaged property. Obviously, visual documentation will help with the claims process and will assist the adjuster in the investigation. We don't necessarily need to have it before. There's a good, from looking at the photos, you're going to have a sense of what the damage is.
How long do people have to file a claim?
Well, the sooner the better, just to expedite it. We usually like to see things within a week or two, but obviously you have time. If people have been away from their homes for a while, the industry understands that.
Should people be worried that insurance companies will run out of money before getting to their claims, given the scope of the damage from this storm?
No, the insurance industry has the financial resources to pay whatever insured claims Irene generates. In fact, we have more than $500 billion set aside for auto, home, and businesses. So, in fact, we have a $564 billion surplus. We're really in good shape to pay these claims. This is nothing, by the way, Brian, and this is not a Hurricane Katrina. This is a $3 to $5 billion loss, which is significant, particularly when you look at the fact that the insurance industry had another $18 billion in insured losses for the year. You may recall tornadoes in Joplin and winter storms. So all these storms have been significant and have brought it into about $18 billion and then add into the $3 to $5 billion. It is making it probably a top 10, but it is not something that the industry can handle.
And I guess that's the nature of insurance. If everybody buys insurance, if everybody is required to, or if so many people choose to, well, in the case of car insurance, everybody's required to. In the case of homeowners insurance,
If you have a mortgage, you're required.
If you do, that's true. If you have a mortgage, you're required to get homeowners insurance. So that's a big requirement.
About 96% of people have homeowners coverage, by the way.
And so the pool is so big that even when something like this takes place, there are still so many people who are not filing claims around the country that, as you're saying, you have plenty of money to go around.
All right.
Let's take a phone call. Mike in Kent, New York. You're on WNYC. Hello, Mike.
Well, hello. It's great to be on the radio with you guys.
Thanks for calling. What's your question?
I have a friend, a neighbor, who has normally a sump pump in their basement. Under normal conditions, even when it's not raining, if the sump pumps are shut off, it will flood. But the power has been out since the storm, and the battery backups on the pump have run out. And before we could get generators to the house, the basement flooded, and they lost washers and dryers and air handlers. And I was wondering, they don't have flood insurance. Is that covered under homeowners insurance?
Hi, Mike. Unfortunately, it is not. Flooding is excluded under a homeowner's policy. The what your friend would have needed to do is to purchase the insurance from the federal government's National Flood Insurance Program. It's unfortunate that the backup battery on the sump pump went. There are, I don't know what kind of extensive damage he may have or she may have, but they can apply to the federal government for a low-interest or no-interest loan. That is a loan. They have to pay it back, but it does help some people to defray costs initially.
Okay. Mike. Well, that's pretty much what we were in fear would be the case, but it's par for the course here.
Thank you for your call. Why is flood insurance handled separately from other disasters? You know, there's a lot of skepticism about the insurance industry out there. We get a lot of comments in the last few days and certainly after Hurricane Katrina back then. And, you know, people say, oh, you're in for a great surprise here. You think your homeowner's policy is going to cover you after the storm, but the agent's going to come over and say, aha, this isn't storm damage. This was a flood. So no coverage for you.
The vast majority of homeowners and renters insurance policies do not cover flood coverage. It, as I say, it requires a separate policy. That's the federal government that does that. The reason being, they've done it since the 1960s. It's a widespread loss. There can be flooding in any part of the country, and it's just too big a risk for the insurance industry to take.
In all cases, all flood insurance, not just for people who live in, you know, flood-prone coastal areas or in the Mississippi River Delta, that kind of thing?
Yeah, I mean, you can have flooding anywhere, just a bad rainstorm, and there can be flooding, a backup of a sewer, and, you know, the entire neighborhood can be flooded. So it's a very high-risk area, and the insurance industry the federal government has taken on that responsibility to pay those flood losses.
So if the storm comes and there's wind damage, let's say, or you can tell me what other kinds of damage from Hurricane Irene would be common that would be covered, but if the result is that there's a flood, then you're not covered.
Correct. When you look at it, it's wind damage. Property insurance covers damage from windstorms like hurricanes and tornadoes. It covers any damage that's done to, let's say, the structure of your home. If a tree falls on your home and damages your home, you will have coverage for that. But when it comes to, and also let me add that when, let's say, your roof blows off and rain comes down into your home, you would have coverage for that. However, if it's a rising body of water coming up through the ground, that's saturated ground, which is a lot of what these losses are, that is not covered under a homeowner's policy. That is covered under the federal government's National Flood Insurance Program.
Loretta Waters, my guest on WNYC, Vice President of the Insurance Information Institute, as we're taking your calls on how to file a successful claim after Hurricane Irene. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692, and Edie in Pine Brook, New Jersey. You're on WNYC. Hello, Edie.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. My car is underwater at Pine Brook, but I have only liability insurance. Do I have to file a claim or I just let it go?
Hi, Edie. Unfortunately, flood damage is covered under a vehicle, but you have to purchase the comprehensive portion. And that is an optional coverage that you can select on your own. And if you've chosen not to get comprehensive coverage, then unfortunately you would not have coverage on that car.
Which I don't have. All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Irma in Huntington. You're on WNYC. Hi, Irma.
Good afternoon. I was wondering to ask if losses from products that you buy in the supermarket, you know, if those things are covered, like homeowners insurance?
I'm sorry, if it's...
She's asking about food items that were destroyed.
Food items, spoilage?
Yeah,
most insurance companies include food spoilage coverage. Usually that ranges from $250 to $500 per appliance. So in other words, if you have a refrigerator and then maybe you have a... like my parents have a freezer in their garage for other items, so that if you have those two kind of things or one in the basement, it will cover that.
Okay, thank you very much.
Irma, thank you. Does homeowners insurance cover the cost of evacuations?
The cost of it will cover you for additional living expense. So if you mean by additional living expense, evacuation, if you just mean having to move to another part of the state.
Well, you know, New York and New Jersey both had fairly extensive evacuations
mm-hmm.
that they called mandatory. They
right.
wanted everybody to leave the Battery Park City area,
right.
the Coney Island area,
right.
certain parts of New Jersey. And so they also encouraged people to do it privately, to not go to public shelters
right.
unless absolutely necessary. So presumably a lot of people incurred expenses, you know, and not everybody could go flop on their brother's couch. So that would
be additional living expenses you're referring to.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Now, it depends on the situation. If it was just an evacuation, it depends on what is stated in your insurance policy. Generally, mandatory evacuation expenses are covered under certain conditions.
And what can you do? Can you stay in a hotel and eat at restaurants?
You can stay in a hotel, yes. And obviously you can't overdo it. You've got to keep receipts. And this is particularly important if you are you need temporary living expenses. Most policies cover additional living expenses, which are the extra charges over and above your customary living expenses incurred when you're displaced from your home and need temporary shelter. So the amount is generally 20% of the insurance you have on your home. Some insurance pay more than 20%, depends on the company. Others limit additional living expense to an amount spent during a specific time period.
Mm-hmm.
Usually that's a year. So you should always check with your insurer to be sure you understand what this coverage allows and keep all receipts to document your expenditures. You know, the insurance company isn't going to, you're going to buy a filet mignon steak. The insurance company isn't paying for that kind of expense. It's your expenses that keep you going.
Sue in Long Beach, you're on WNYC. And Sue, I know Long Beach.
How are you folks?
Good. How is Long Beach?
Well, we were floating on a raft of good karma. We did very, very well. Some people's basements flooded up to 5 feet, and other people like us, we didn't incur a drop of water, so we were very fortunate.
Good. Long Beach was supposed to take the direct hit, and then it moved over to Coney Island.
Right. Well, we actually had 8 inches of rain in a storm a week before, more rain than we did during the hurricane. So we made out surprisingly well.
Wow.
The Alegria Hotel, I know, got hit pretty hard.
So what's your question about insurance?
Would insurance rates go up following the filing of a claim? I know when I had an auto insurance problem and I filed insurance for an $800 claim, then my insurance rates went up for around 6 or 7 years higher than if I'd paid the claim myself. So I want to know if it's even beneficial to file or just pay out of pocket ourselves.
Well, insurance rates aren't arbitrarily increased. The state insurance department has to make the determination if rates are to be increased. Certainly, we have seen a lot of storm damage, as I was telling Brian, that you know, this year alone we had $18 billion in losses. So, you know, I think it's kind of a wait and see in terms of what the insurance industry is going to do with the these losses. The other problem is that we're having more frequent and more severe storms than ever before. So, you know, it's something the industry right now, you know, we don't know.
But you're talking about overall rates,
mm-hmm.
and I think Sue's question was about individual rates. So an individual's car insurance will go up after an accident, let's say. Will the individual's homeowner insurance go up because of a claim after the storm?
After a claim, it depends on the claim. If you've had a severe claim and it's been a number of claims over the course of so many years, then you would likely have a rate increase. If this is a one-time claim that you've made, that's not necessarily the case. It really depends on the insurance company. It also depends on, you know, how many claims you've had in the past that makes that a factor.
My guest, Loretta Worters from the Insurance Information Institute, taking your calls on insurance claims after Hurricane Irene. Karen in Essex County wants to follow up on our previous caller who talked about the sump pump in the basement that failed, and with the power out, the battery backup failed, and so there was a flood. Karen, hi.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. As I mentioned earlier, my insurance policy has a rider for sump pump failure, and because of that, my insurance company is graciously accepting my claim. And they have already arranged for a water mitigation service to come in and start the clean out of my basement, which was flooded. So I just wanted to make that point.
That's good, Karen. Who's your insurer?
Peerless.
Okay. That's good to know. You know, I know some of the high-end insurance companies do provide some of that coverage, but a lot of companies don't. So I'm glad to hear that your company does provide that.
Thank you very much. What's the story with concurrent damage? Is it true that if wind and rain and floods destroy property, the claim can be denied because there's more than one cause?
How that works is if your home was had wind damage, there would be payment for wind damage. If it was flooding, it would be a separate issue. What you're going to have insurance companies doing is coming in and taking a look at what the damage is. You may have one insurance adjuster coming in, or you may have several insurance adjusters coming in, each for specific areas. You may have one for flood. You may have one for wind.
But is that a basis for denying claims?
No.
It's not?
No.
Okay.
No.
Because someone had told me that perhaps a claim could be denied on the basis that there's more than one cause.
There has to be a clear-cut case of what is wind and what is flood. And that has to be determined by the insurance company and the claims adjusters.
Paul in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Paul.
Hi. What about an act of God? I mean, what if you're not religious? And how much money do the insurance companies save by claiming that this is an act of God? And I'm sure there's some gray area there, but, you know, people who are just flat-out secular and not religious shouldn't be told that they're not going to be turned down because it's an act of God.
Well, is that a common clause in the policy, exclusion?
There's no such thing as an act of God. A lot of people have used that as a means on an insurance policy, and there's no such thing.
What do you mean as a means on an insurance policy?
Well, when people come up with this saying an act of God, there's no such thing in a policy, an act of God. You have a very, in your declarations page, which is the first page of your insurance policy, you have what each coverage is, what the coverage amount is, and what your exclusions are. There is nothing that mentions act of God.
There's no exclusion for an act of God?
There's nothing written in a policy that says an act of God. You have losses for windstorm. You have losses for damage to your home. There's nothing in a policy that says an act of God.
By the way, we're still getting more calls about the sump pump failure. Somebody who says he works for an insurance company said that she thought sump pump failure was covered whether or not you have flood insurance. And another caller said sump pump damage is covered by something called a water backup endorsement.
Two different things. Sewer backup is sewer backup coverage. That's if the sewer backs up into your home, and it depends on the insurance company. Some companies include that automatically in the policy. Some companies you have to ask for it, and that's very different from sump pump failure.
Loretta Waters answering your hurricane damage insurance questions from the Insurance Information Institute, an arm of the insurance industry, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And Lori in Great Neck, you're on WNYC. Hi, Lori.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
We had a hailstorm in the Great Neck, Little Neck area about 2-3 weeks ago. We had significant damage on our roof, and we had the insurance adjuster here. We received the report from the insurance company, and we received a check. And we don't agree with their assessment, and neither does the roofer, or the three roofers we've had. So how do we handle this?
Well,
now, I know it's not the hurricane, but we did not have damage from the hurricane, but anyway, yes.
But I'm sure it's going to come up many, many times, obviously, for people who do have damage from the hurricane. Go ahead.
Hi, Lori. Yeah. It depends on the insurance company. Some companies do not pay for the entire roof. They may just pay for the part of the roof that was damaged. Some companies pay for the entire thing, that may be the reason why there's a discrepancy in the amount that is of the claim.
Right, and we can agree that, you know, half the roof was damaged. However, what they're offering isn't going to cover half the roof of a slate roof.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so have you spoken to the supervisor there?
Yes, I believe that they said we could get two more estimates, but is there anything else that we should do?
Well, before you there is an arbitration that can go on between the insurance company and the homeowner. But before you do that, I would say start with getting a few more estimates and try to work with your insurance company and try to get that resolved. If you don't, the other thing is you could call your New York State Insurance Department. They have a consumer complaint area that you can also give a call to and see if they can help you.
Okay. Is it important not to cash the check at this point?
I would say not to cash it yet until you've resolved what you're going to get.
Okay.
Really? Lori, thank you. Are you sure?
I would say yes, because by signing that check and cashing it, you're agreeing to that amount.
All right. Do some policies include hurricane damage per se by those words?
No, it says wind damage.
It says wind damage.
Typically it says wind damage. And it may say in the policy, in parentheses, hurricanes, tornadoes. It depends on the policy.
I see. Because someone asked if the policy says hurricane damage and includes hurricane damage, does that include tropical storm damage, or does that downgrade in classification by the Weather Service actually affect your eligibility?
Oh, you're talking about hurricane deductibles?
I don't know if that's what they meant.
That may be what they're referring to. In terms of, wind is wind. So whether it's a tornado, a hurricane,
tropical storm,
it would be covered. However, There are what's called hurricane deductibles that have been around since the 1990s in New York, and I think it's 1993. And what it says is, depending on where you live, your proximity to the coast, you can have a deductible of anywhere between 1 and 5%. Now, that's different from your regular deductible. For example, let's say there is a theft or damage done to your home from a fire. You would pay typically it's $500 to $1,000 deductible, depending on what you've chosen, the consumer has chosen. But hurricane deductibles are different. They are based on percentages, 1 to 5%. Obviously, the closer your proximity to the coast, the higher the percentage that is a deductible. And you can, depending on the company, you can lower those deductibles for a higher premium. But what those do is it has consumers sharing more of the risk because we have become, because storms are so frequent and so severe that insurance companies have instituted these in the 1990s. And unfortunately, many people aren't aware of them, even though they're on their declaration page right in front, but people aren't aware of it because they've never had to use those. And I think what the person is referring to is the trigger, which is, in other words, what would trigger a deductible. Now, in the case of New York, because it was not considered a hurricane, most likely it would not be triggering the hurricane deductible. But some companies don't do it by the National Weather Service. Some do it by the wind speed. So it really depends on the insurance company, and so they need to check with their company.
Interesting. Dennis in Great Neck is calling about that hurricane deductible. Dennis, did you have anything to add to that?
Well, my understanding was that a New York state law, it was triggered by the wind speed, and I wasn't aware that there was a variation in the deductible according to your proximity to the coast. I could be wrong, but even though it's called a hurricane deductible, I believe my policy stated it had to do with the wind speed recorded anywhere in the state, and I thought it would affect all policyholders within the state.
So yeah. Is there a miles per hour listed in there? In your policy, Dennis?
Well, there probably is. I don't have it in front of me, but I remember reading that, yes.
Yeah, there's different ways companies do it. Not every company is the same. Some do the wind speed. Some will go by if the National Weather Service claims it's a hurricane, then that is triggered. So it really depends on your policy and where you're located.
All right. One more. Bruce is talking about a situation where what appears to be a flood might be covered without flood insurance. Right, Bruce?
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, we have a house out by the water in Staten Island, and it was in a mandatory evacuation zone. I noticed that water was coming in from the utility sink, and then I heard dripping, and I saw that it was also coming in from what looked like a rusted perforation in our sewer line, the outline, and it was coming in. And I was told that that might be covered under a regular homeowner's policy, without flood insurance?
Hi, Bruce. It might very well be if you have sewer backup insurance. You have to check your policy. Some companies automatically have that included. Some companies you have to ask for it. And obviously you have to pay a little extra for it. It's not a lot. I think it's a very minimal amount, maybe $10 or $15 more a year. But if you don't ask for it, you might not have the coverage. So check with your insurer and see, and I wish you luck on that.
Bruce, thank you. Yeah, good luck. One quick one that a taxi driver was complaining to me about yesterday out in Montclair, and I don't know if the story is true or accurate the way he described it, but he said a friend of his who had comprehensive auto insurance had a tree fall on his car during the storm, but was told by his insurer that it wouldn't be covered. If you have comprehensive auto insurance, is there any exclusion for something like a tree falling on your parked car?
No, that's not. Brian, I'm not sure who he spoke with, but if you have comprehensive on your auto, that will cover you for any damage from a tree, from an airplane, any object that falls down onto your car is covered.
That's good. And as a last word, I guess we should really tell people to check your policy and call the company before assuming that any part of your damage isn't covered.
Yes.
So, right, don't just hear this generalization that insurance, that homeowners insurance doesn't cover floods or anything else. Look at your policy. Ask your insurer. Don't assume that anything that you have that's damaged is not covered until somebody tells you it's not covered. And Loretta Waters from the Insurance Information Institute, how can people get more information from your group?
Well, if they have electricity and can access or have a computer that's battery operating, can access our website, we have some terrific information that's very helpful. We have 800 numbers to help them with their to call their insurance companies. We have all kinds of information on trees, all kinds of coverage questions and answers that can help them. So they can access it at www.iii.org.
III for Insurance Information Institute.org. Loretta Waters, Vice President of the Insurance Information Institute. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, we'll explain briefly how those of you who are on food stamps can get food replaced if it was spoiled as a result of the storm. And then still to come, we continue our Decade 9/11 series with another conversation in our series of 10 conversations for the 10th anniversary. This time we have the writers and brothers, Franklin and Jonathan Safran Foer, on responding to 9/11 in fiction and nonfiction. So stay with us.